All right, everyone, let's get started. Thank you for coming out to the session. Today we're going to talk about Global Service Monitor. It's an attached service with Operations Manager. My name is Akin Olubade. I'm a program manager on the Operations Manager team. I have been fortunate enough to actually work on some of the features that we're going to show off with Global Service Monitor. And this is my colleague Laura.
My name is Laura Cruz. I'm also a program manager in System Center. I've been at Microsoft for about 4 years. I started in their IT department, and about 2 years ago, I moved to the Operations Manager team. And there, I've been focusing mostly on setup and deployment, and also Operations Manager's update rollups, meaning any bugs that we ship after the product has been released. And recently, I've also been working on a product called System Center Advisor. Go ahead.
So how many people have used or know what Global Service Monitor is? Only a few of you. And how many of you have actually gone and used and played around with it? Nobody. OK, great. So you'll get to see for the first time how it actually works. So Global Service Monitor is a brand new service. We released the trial version back in January, and we released the full version full commercial version back in March. It allows monitoring publicly accessible endpoints from a global perspective. And this means that you can monitor websites and web services from 16 global locations around the world. You can think of these global locations as agents which can execute synthetic transactions to monitor your application availability from outside in. So our agenda today is to talk about Global Service Monitor and its value proposition and how it fits in with the overall assets that Operations Manager has with application monitoring. We'll go step by step and show you what it takes to get started with GSM. GSM is what we call Global Service Monitor. Later we'll switch context, and Laura will talk about what exactly DevOps is, and we'll explain and highlight what the challenges that organizations are facing when trying to implement DevOps processes. Then we'll dive into a demo and show off Global Service Monitor together with Operations Manager and show how Operations Manager and Global Service Monitor together help facilitate the dev and ops communication and facilitate interactions when they work together on fixing lifecycle issues. Essentially, we'll be able to show how to reduce your mean time resolution with Operations Manager, and then we'll close the session with a Q&A. All right, so let's get started. Let's talk about the application monitoring perspectives in Operations Manager. If you think of your application as sort of these different layers, radiating out from the bare metal and the code, and then going out towards the actual user, we can use this to understand where our offerings lie and how we monitor those different kinds of layers. So application performance monitoring lives right at the center. It views your applications as lines of codes. It sees objects and methods, namespaces, and queries. This kind of information that application monitoring can provide you, this is the kind of information that application monitoring can provide you. It can tell you whether a method is too slow or some line is causing exceptions. Now, if you zoom out a little bit further, what you see is a higher level view, and you stop seeing your app as lines of codes, but a grouping of different components. You have your database components, or you may have your internal web service, which feeds data into your application. If you view your application at this level, Operations Manager provides internal synthetic transactions for monitoring. You can configure internal synthetic transactions, which will monitor the help of each individual component. And if you zoom out even a little further, this is where our Global Service Monitor lives. We call this the mid-mile perspective. Global Service Monitor allows you to view your application health from outside in. And as I mentioned before, we have 16 global locations and configure synthetic transactions, which will monitor externally facing websites, endpoints, or web services for availability, correctness, and performance. There are many rules you can specify how you define a transaction to be correct. For example, you can monitor the time it takes for each step to execute. You can monitor and verify that the redirect URLs are expected, and you can verify against the content which is returned. And of course, you can monitor the HTTP status codes that we return. Finally, we have last mile monitoring. We like to call this client-side monitoring. This kind of monitoring provides you with the exact experience that a client is experiencing with their browser. Think of a user on their laptop, sitting somewhere in their coffee shop on Wi-Fi. How do they experience your application? And this is really what client-side monitoring is all about. So as you can see, Operations Manager has this kind of great depth of monitoring assets that goes all the way from the code all the way out to the client. And if there's a problem, you can use this range of monitoring perspectives to prioritize quickly. If there's an error, it has an impact to the user. And if a user is affected, you can go all the way down to the code level to find out where your problem stems from. Now, let's talk about the kind of value that Global Service Monitor provides. As I mentioned previously, availability monitoring from an external, it provides availability monitoring from an external perspective. It proactively reports to you if your website or web service is unhealthy, and since Global Service Monitor is querying your service at a regular and frequent interval that you've chosen, we're able to proactively catch the problems with the service before your users, hopefully. That's one of our big goals. You can also use GSM to track against your SLAs. You've guaranteed a certain level of availability, and you can track your progress against that. If you're relying on a third party to provide you a service, you can use Global Service Monitor to make sure that the service and availability that they've promised to you, you're actually getting that kind of service from them. There's also pretty great integration between Global Service Monitor and your Operations Manager group. All the data which GSM collects from around the globe is being sent right back on-premise to your infrastructure and can be consumed by your operations team. So all the tools that Operations Manager already provides you, such as reporting or statistical analysis, are available for you to use on this data that you get from Global Service Monitor. The way I like to think of Global Service Monitor is an extension of your on-prem infrastructure right into the cloud. And the great part is that you don't have to worry about maintaining this cloud-consuming part of your monitoring experience. The monitoring agents that we provide you with are completely hosted and managed by us at Microsoft, and so you really don't have to worry about them. They're available to you with no extra cost and extremely minimal configuration to provide you with monitoring. All right, so let's get into how we get started with Global Service Monitor. So the signup experience is pretty easy. There are four steps for you to configure it in Operations Manager. And the first is to activate your Global Service Monitor subscription through the Microsoft portal. Currently, there are two types of offers for GSM. The first is a trial offer, and it's available to use for free. The only real limitation on that is that once you've used this, you kind of only have 90 days to decide whether or not you're going to continue going with the service. The second is the full offer, and this is given to you if you have software assurance and for no additional cost, and it doesn't expire. So if you have software assurance, there's really no downside to trying this out today in your environment. Sorry, going backwards. So after that, all you have to go and do is download the MPs. Let me jump into the actual signup experience. So here's the portal. If you click one of those links, you'll be directed here. And this, I've actually clicked and selected the trial experience. So I click sign in. So if you don't have an org ID, you would want to create that. But I already have one, and so I'm going to go ahead and sign in. And I have a service that I've created called Fabricum Fibers. Let's try it one more time. I think I got the name wrong. Actually, we can go through the setup process. Why not? So we go in and select all the information and put in organization name. And then we can go and select a domain name for the organization. And then I'll use my email address at fabricandfiber. I'll just put in my actual Microsoft address.
They can email you if they have any questions about TSM.
Yeah. And hopefully this works. And
no, there's still a typo there.
Fabricum, okay. All right, I can't log in, but the gist of it is you get to a launch screen here, and you'll see that you have, I would have 90 days left on my trial. Once I'm here, I can go and select download, and then that'll provide me with the MPs, the MP guides, and the EULA for the Global Service Monitor management packs. After that, I go in and import these MPs, and as a note, we do have a dependency on the TFS synchronization or the alert attachment MP. But we also include that here in case you don't have that in your environment already. And this will allow you to gain in-depth information about the Visual Studio web test results. And after you import the MPs, you need to configure the file attachment share that you'll use to drop these Visual Studio web test result files. And these steps are also detailed in that link on TechNet. And once you've done that, once you're done importing your MPs, you'll notice a new item in the administration pane in the OM console, and it's going to be called Global Service Monitor. You click on this and you'll be on the landing page. You'll have a link to start your subscription. Once you click on this link and you're brought to the beginning of your signup wizard, you'll use the same account that you used to sign up with the org ID. And then once you're finished that, you'll be able to start go ahead and configuring test. So this is after you're done, you'll see now we can go and configure a web application availability test or Visual Studio Web Test. Today we'll be focusing more on the Visual Studio Web Test as they're kind of richer and more in depth. But we do have application web application availability tests, which pretty much target a single URL with a certain set of rules that you've configured. But the Visual Studio test, if you can use those, you probably want to, just because they're really rich and they kind of provide that tight integration with your already existing development environment. Now I'm going to hand it off to Laura, and she's going to explain really what DevOps is and the kind of challenges you experience in that space.
Cool. Thanks, Akeem. So like Akeem just showed you how simple it is to sign up for GSM, and now I'd like to talk to you about how GSM relates to reducing your mean time to resolution using the DevOps cycle. Now, a few years ago, no one really knew what DevOps was, but today you'll hear about it in pretty much every IT conference. Actually, if you were at yesterday's OM overview, you've actually seen this slide already. And probably during this week, you're going to keep hearing about DevOps. So what is DevOps? Let's start there. DevOps is not a role. It's not the job of only one person. It's not a technology or software. DevOps is an eco model where you have your development team and your operations team working in a shared environment. Now, we need to understand that there are several challenges that will keep resurfacing when you have dev and ops sharing the same environment. And the key to running DevOps successfully in any organization is understanding those challenges and knowing how you can address them. So in this slide, I'll take you through what the challenges are and how GSM relates to these, to solving these challenges. So here we have the DevOps world, where you have dev on one side, building your application, fixing bugs. And then on the other side, you have your operations team. And their main goal is making sure that the application or service is available and it's running. So where do we start seeing problems? The first challenge that we're going to see is that in most cases, dev and ops live in completely isolated worlds. They're siloed from each other. And it starts with tools. Dev has a set of tools that they use every day, and ops has a different set of tools that they use. You're going to have dev using Visual Studio for writing their code. And then on the other side, you're going to have the operations team using tools like System Center. And when you have folks using different tools for the same application or service, you will have segregated data. And that's one of the problems that we see. So it effectively makes them talk a different language, and that's where you start seeing conflicts between the two. The next challenge that we see is that when an issue does happen, the user is usually the one that finds out about it first. And what he'll do is he's going to call support. He's going to call the operations team and tell them to get that application back up. Now, the problem is that ops might not immediately have all the tools they need to fix a problem because the tools are residing on the other side with dev. So that's the second problem. GSM actually helps in this particular problem because GSM will act as a virtual user, and it will tell you about problems before the real users are calling you. So that's one way to avoid that problem. The next challenge that you see is that production incidents are very hard to debug. The first reason is that your production environment is very sensitive. You don't want to give everybody access to it to fix problems. And then another problem is that you might not have the right tools in your production environment in order to debug. Now, let's say the issue has already made it to the development team. One of the problems, actually, with production incidents being hard to debug is that when ops goes to the development side, they're not going to have all the context available. They're not going to be able to give dev access to the production environment, and that's how we run into dev not having enough feedback to resolve the problem. And this is where your MTTR, your mean time to resolution, is going to just keep going up. Ops is not going to meet their SLAs. And at the same time, you're going to have a very angry user because your application or service does not work. The next problem. Even after dev kind of understands what the issue is, they might not be able to repro it in their environment. And that's where the famous, "Well, it worked on my machine," comes in. And so what do we do about this? You can't give, like I said, you can't give dev access to your production environment. And the production environment is so different from your development environment that that's when you start seeing that problem of not being able to reproduce. And the reason is you might have authentication running in your production environment. Well, it's not important to have running on your development environment. And you might have other differences like that that just make problems not arise in your dev environment. Now, Operations Manager will help you on the problems on that side with IntelliTrace. It is going to allow the operations team to send context about an issue, and this context will include real production information that dev can drill down into and associate to the code that's living on their side. So that's a second way to address problems. And the very last challenge that we see is even after dev understands the issue, has actually found a way to fix it, deployment might take a very long time. And deployment varies by organizations, by companies. You might have hundreds of different deployment styles. So you see, you have many different challenges that you need to address when you have a DevOps, when you live in the DevOps world. And GSM can help you on one side to detect problems before they happen, and IntelliTrace can help you on the other to give dev the context that they need in order to address a problem. Now, you can summarize that as dev and ops just live in completely different worlds. Like I said, dev is going to be using TFS and Visual Studio. Ops is going to be using System Center. When ops comes to dev to talk, they're going to be talking in terms of SLAs. We're not meeting our SLAs. We're going to be talking in terms of alerts. They're going to be talking in terms of availability and latency, and this is going to be completely foreign to dev because they talk in terms of bugs, in lines of code, in functionality and methods. And at the core of all of this is what their jobs are. The dev job is to make a feature or an application grow. Dev wants to continue to introduce change, to bring new things to your application. But ops wants to do the complete opposite. They want to keep the application stable, so they want to control change and minimize it as much as they can. So here's where you have that conflict of interest, where you have the same application, and while both teams really want the application to succeed, they have completely different priorities. So this is what you need to keep in mind when you have your DevOps environment. Now, Akin and I are going to go into a demo, and we're going to show you working together as I'm going to pretend to be dev, and Akin is, yeah.
I'll be part of the operations team.
Yep. So we'll show you how we can create a test in GSM and use the results of that test to give me, dev, again, actionable feedback that will help me resolve an issue quickly and reduce my mean time to resolution. So let me switch to my computer. Actually, let me change something here and come on, IE. Okay, there we go. Okay, so this is my application. It is called Fabric M5er Support Dashboard. Well, Support Dashboard, really. And in this case, Fabric M5er, I think they're a television provider. And you can see here that we have the support tickets that Fabric M5er has been receiving from their users. And we're tracking the tickets, we're tracking what customers are from, and we're tracking what employees are assigned to it. And this is Drew left his account logged in, and he's one of the employees helping out customers. And as you can see, we have a lot of unhappy customers. This one is claiming that Fabric Cam5er is the worst ever, and we have detail on each ticket. We can see customers and their information, and we can see employees as well, and reports. So I want to make sure that I'm testing what happens When a user of the support dashboard of the support application goes into the employees page, and also what happens when they go to reports. So as a developer, I'm going to go back to my tool. That's the only tool I want to use. I don't want to go to Operations Manager. I don't even want to learn what an alert is. I just want to code and be happy. So I'm here in Visual Studio. And in my solution, I've already created a web test to test the functionality of the employees page. So that one's done. Now what I'm going to show you is how I create a test for the reports page. Excuse me. So I'm going to add, I'm going to add a web performance test. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to record the actions that the test will perform. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the local application. This is not the production one, just in my good old dev environment. Oh no. Let me see. I might need to restart IIS. That's a different problem. Let me switch to PowerShell. You can switch it back to while I mess around with this. IIS reset.
You did ISS.
Oh, ISS, yeah, that's the International Space Station. Okay. The RPC server is on here at this time. Maybe I didn't open it as mine. Sorry, guys. Demo gods are not with me at this moment. Let's see if... Oh, actually, I know what. It's me. It's not the demo gods. Okay, let's try this again. Tempting to stop and restart IIS. And see if there's anything else that I didn't set up. Okay, let me try this again before. Oh wow, it's been recording this whole time. Let me stop that recording. Let me delete this web test. Now cancel all this. Cancel all this. Delete that web test. I don't want that one. I want to create a new one again. Okay. Okay. Well, this is very problematic because I really wanted to show you guys how to create a web test.
Can you use the URL that you're using in the actual Internet Explorer? Can you
use that? Oh, yeah, actually, I'm going to do that. Oh, yeah, I'm going to cheat a little bit. And I'm going to use a different... here. New performance test once again. Okay, let's switch back we've been here the whole time. So this is not the ideal situation, but basically I just entered the application URL and I'm actually using the one in production, so let's keep that secret between us and whomever's watching this on Channel 9 later. And it's recorded, and the one thing I'm gonna do is the only test I really wanted to do was click reports. And ideally, I should have only had 4 tests, but I did it in production, and that's what happens. I'm going to stop this test. I'm going to cancel the detecting dynamic parameters because I know I don't want any of those. Now, let me see if I can delete these for the sake of this demo. I'm going to delete the tests that I know I didn't have when I tried this with this demo earlier. Oh, Okay, so this is actually exactly the way it was supposed to look, had the demo and the demo gods cooperated with me. The web test only had four simple steps. The first step was actually go to the application. The second test was go to the reports page. And you can see that when I went to the reports page, there were two other calls. One was to get tickets that were open, and another was to get the employees. So those are the four steps that I had in my web test. Woo-hoo. Okay, but before, so I want to take this web test and I want to give it to Akin so he can run it with GSM and see what actually happens in production. Now, before I give it to him, there's a couple of things that I want to do. The first thing I want to do is I want to set the web server parameter, and I'm just going to set it to web server. That's the standard that we have in our team. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to set parameters for username and password. In the real world, there will be authentication, and the user will be required to enter it. So I'm going to enter two more context parameters. Okay. I'm going to call this one username. And I'm going to call this one password. So I have all the parameters I'm going to need for that test. But before I finish, I need to bind these parameters to the actual input that's going to come in the request. So I'm going to move into set credentials, and I'm going to bind the name credential to the username parameter that I just created, and I'm going to bind password to password. So that's it. I have all the parameters that I need, and I'm just going to save my web test. And let me see. Yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. And I'm just going to rename this for the sake of consistency as reports.auth. I've done that. Next step, and let's hope that this works. The next step is basically just to check in my test, just like I check in any of my code. Oh, and I need to add a comment. I added a web test. Yes. Okay, I'm checking in that item. Items were successfully checked in. Now the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to deploy a build with my, with my changes. I'm going to go into builds. You can see the last builds that I had created. And now I'm going to queue a new build. And this build has just started. And if this build actually finishes successfully, I'm going to be very surprised, but let's see. Okay, it's going. Oops, I'm just minimizing things now. Okay, wow, okay, all right. So that build actually succeeded, and now when I open my drop folder, I should have had a reports underscore auth web test right there. But that actually is the other employee's auth web test that I had. And ideally, what I would do is I would take my imaginary reports underscore auth web test and the employee's one that you see here, and I would just send them to Akin and tell them, hey, you can use these on GSM to test if the employee's page and the reports page are working properly. Now, Akin's going to go on his office and open Operations Manager now.
So now I'm the ops team, and I'm responsible for making sure that this thing is up and running and maintained well. So thanks, Laura, for kicking off a new build. I'm actually going to go back into an older build that we have. And see that in the web test folder, in this older build, that we have both the reports and employees auth web tests. So now it's been deployed in our environment. And I can go in now and start using this with Global Service Monitor. So now this is where we left off after the sign-up experience. And we're going to go in and start configuring Visual Studio web tests. We're going to give this a name.
Build latest.
And it's also good practice to use a new management pack for that, but I've already gone ahead and created one. So here, once we're here, we can go in and actually select these web tests that we want to that she authored, and we want to go in and use to push out to Global Service Monitor. We also see that we want to set the parameters that she had set and binded, and so we're going to go in and do that. And so we're not going to be using.
We're not using
this web server. We're going to be using an actual one that's reachable externally.
So let me.
And we're going to do the same thing with the username and password. And it's, so what we've done is gone ahead and created a test account against it. And it's good to do that. And you probably want to give it lower privileges than a regular account would have. And that way we can go in and actually test against the web service. OK. And then we do the exact same thing here as well. Next, we actually are going to go in and select the locations that we want to monitor from. So let's go in and select Sydney, Sao Paulo, Zurich, and maybe some locations in America, because this is an extremely important market for me. My service is globally distributed, and I want to make sure that all customers are getting satisfactory results. Go ahead and add these. And so now we can see that these are the locations that we're going to be monitoring from. You can select up to all of these, all 16 of the locations that we have here. OK, let's go next. So now this page lets you see, it gives you a kind of a summary of what you have. And we can go ahead and finish now. But we can also go and change the default configuration. And here, you see, by default, we're going to run these tests every 5 minutes. But I want a little quicker than that, probably twice as fast. So I'm going to go in and run these tests at a 5-minute frequency. And so this is going to run each of the two web tests that I've selected from each of the five locations that I've selected to run them from. And then also, sometimes you want to reduce noise. You don't want to get an alert for every intermittent issue. So I'm going to say, don't alert me until I fail 2 times in a row. And then I can also really decide how I want to, or how many alerts I want to receive. I can decide to receive an alert from each location and each test, or I can decide not to get it that many alerts as once. And I can also decide whether or not I want to do all of those alerts to be surfaced as one single summary alert. I personally want to get a lot of alerts so I know exactly when each test fails. So I'm going to hit OK. And next, I get a summary view that lets me know exactly what I've signed up to do. Number of tests from locations is 10 because I have 2 tests running from 5 locations. And I'm running at a frequency of 5 minutes. And I could go ahead and create it now. I'm going to hit cancel because we've already done this. But once you've done this, it only takes about 10 to 15 minutes for data to start pumping from Global Service Monitor back into your Operations Manager environment. All right, next we're going to go back to the monitoring pane, and we're going to go to the visuals under Application Monitoring. We're going to go to, under the Visual Studio Web Test Monitoring folder, and we're going to go to the Visual Studio Web Test Status. And here I can see that this service is unhealthy, and that's bad. We want to click on the So let's dive into the summary dashboard here, and we're going to view it on a map. So this dashboard lets me view the application health from a global perspective. It highlights on a map all locations from which I have configured my tests to run, and lets me know the health of my application from the perspective of each of those locations. It seems my website or web service is unhealthy from all locations, which is pretty bad. So let's drill down into one of them.
The users haven't called me yet, so that's good, though.
So I can see which tests are being run, and I can see which one of those tests are unhealthy. And it seems like the reports auth test is failing, and it's not even being able to run. And I can control click and select multiple of these locations and view them. Multiple, and I'm seeing that this is consistent from every location. This reports auth test just isn't connecting. All right, so let's get out of this and go to the test results dashboard. So we go in and select a location. Okay, so we go and select a location, and what we have here is the ability to download a Visual Studio Web test result. And the reason we do this is instead of pushing them into your environment automatically, it's because the Visual Studio Web test result file is actually kind of large. It contains details for every single step and all the parameters that you set against it, and we don't want to fill up your environment with tests that you may not need. So we have the option to go and download manually download a test result file. So that was successful. Now, hopefully, if we go and reset this. Give me 1 second, sorry, guys. So once again, the demo gods are striking out. So what should happen here is that you should be able to go in and see a web test result file from one of your locations and be able to view it here.
There it is.
All right, let's go back to Sao Paulo. And pretty much what we want to provide when you do see this is parity with what we have in Visual Studio. And so the same kind of rich, you'll be able to see the steps, you'll be able to see the kind of errors that have occurred, and you'll be able to see all of this from the OM console. All right, so let's go to the alerts view. So if we go into these active alerts, what we'll see is that we have some Visual Studio web tests that have failed. And we can open up this alert and see details about it. So if we go to the alert context, what you can see here is how many steps has failed, what exactly that error was, and which one of those steps has failed. So here we can see that there was a 500 internal server error, and we also failed against some prohibitive text, and that word was error, and we don't like that. We also can go down and see that with the application monitoring exceptions that we are using at the code level, that we have an APM event also. And it's on the same website, and we think that those are correlated events. So what I can do here is go and select both of these. Right click. Set resolution state and go assign to engineering. And another great thing about this is that these are bidirectional. So if I go into the history here and add comments, Laura is going to see those comments in her TFS server. And so this really kind of helps us communicate in a very efficient way. So and any updates that she sends over from the bug or the work item that we've created in TFS, I'll be able, as an operations manager, to see that as well.
Yeah, just tell me to look at the APM bug or whatever. I'll look at it. I don't think it's my fault, though. My code is perfect.
And so another thing that I want to stress is that for alerts, any test that you've run, so for every alert, there is an error. Oh yeah, so that's another scenario, but we do have a 360 dashboard where you can go in and see the entire health of your application all up. So it'll show you, like, it'll surface things from GSM and the SLA and things like that, but you can also go and drill down into a topology view of. Yeah, exactly.
Just for the recording, the question was, can you see the distributed application in any view with all the components?
So there are other views in Operations Manager that help you see a topology of your service. So here we can, instead of going through the manual way of getting the web test result that I showed before, you can actually go in, because we automatically download any web test result for something that's generated an alert. So we can go in and open the alert attachment location. And here I'll be able to see the web test result. And once I do this, I can open it in Visual Studio. And here you can see against this what the user saw. And then also go in and see which parts of it were failing, what steps. And so here you can see, sorry, an error occurred. And that's not what we want to see. So I just want to stress that there's a manual way and an automatic way to retrieve these results. So now I'm going to hand it back over to Laura on the dev side to really try and root cause what's going on here.
Right. So Akeen assigned some bugs to me, and I think it's probably not my fault. It must be something on his environment, because as we all know, my environment was working perfectly. And I'm just going to stay in TFS. This is the only thing I'm going to use. And I'm just going to look for, I'm going to sort this right here. Yep. And I have two new items here. Okay. So this issue is telling me that test reports has some kind of problem. So I can get more details in the attachment. And here I can check out the web test results. And it is going to tell me indeed that reports employee is failing at some point. And so an error happened. And they got a 500 internal server error. So now, what I am going to do, let's see if this guy here. So this is the other associated bug that Akeen had assigned to me, the one that he thought was related to it. And in this one, I actually have more detail. Let me see if this is actually the right one. This is not it, but I know which one it is because I have a secret. Let me see. This is the one that I wanted. So in this one, I get more detail, and I get that IntelliTrace detail that will tell me if indeed the problem that the user saw on the reports page is related to the code that I wrote. So I'm going to go ahead and open the IntelliTrace. The IntelliTrace stack trace, and it is saying that there was some kind of null reference exception. Gonna go ahead and go deeper into this. And sadly, I can confirm that this is code that I wrote, and I need to see what on earth happened. So I can get information on the call stack, I can get more information on the local exceptions, and this is all tied to the code that I've written that I'm already familiar with. Now I'm gonna go deeper here to just what the null reference exception was related to. And I recognized the problem immediately. Now, what happened was that the whole time I had been developing, I had been assuming that for every employee, there would be a customer. And that's not always the case. The customer, when the web test failed, the customer was empty. So we had an employee that, for some reason, had not yet been assigned to a customer. So all I really need to do is change a few lines of code, add an if statement, and just make sure that I handle the case when the employee has no user, no customer. And as you can see, Akeen just forwarded a live in production alert, sent it back to me, but he sent it with the exact context that I needed that allowed me to see where in my code was I not handling an issue correctly. So that pretty much wraps up the demo. Guys, I want to take an aside and thank you so much for being patient with us and the demo gods not cooperating. But really what we wanted to show you was that there is a way to bridge all of these gaps, to make sure that we have a pipeline where dev and ops can talk in the same language, can continue to use their tools, but at the same time stay connected. So that's basically what we did. We removed that wall. And with Visual Studio and System Center, we provided the link that dev and ops needed. We have shared artifacts between the two. Dev and ops share the Visual Studio web tests that are used by global service monitoring as tests in production. An operation manager collects root cause data in IntelliTrace format. That's the one that's going to help me debug the issue. And last, as you saw, the operations manager alerts can be, in fact, escalated all the way to TFS and raised as operational incidents.
So what's next? Actually, before we dive into that, I just want to show you guys what should have worked earlier. is that the same kind of, like, and so this is a pretty key point to stress.
Oh, okay.
Is the same, so we have this Visual Studio web test result file that's downloaded for you into your Operations Manager console. And the same information that you would get in Visual Studio, you can see what your dev's going to see before it hits their TFS, right? And so if I click here, I see that there are these six steps, and one of them has failed. And then I can go in right in the Operations Manager console and view exactly what those failures were. So we see here that we have a 500 internal server error. And then we also see that we failed on two validation steps. And so it's that kind of shared artifacts and that same communication language that's going to help us and help you bridge the gap between your dev and ops personas. And so we're using this same file that we're parsing here and sending it over to TFS for your dev to take a look at. So let's get back into what's next. So what's next is we want you to start trying this. We want you to use it and get comfortable with it. We really think this is going to be how people start to go forward in bridging the dev and ops personas in one kind of seamless way to better manage applications, deploy them more quickly, and resolve issues when they arise. Configuring your GSM subscription is plain. It's pretty simple, and all you have to do is sign up with your Orga ID. You can have a 90-day trial, and if you have software assurance, you can get started and kind of use it as long as the service is up. And you can just go and add GSM tests and start monitoring today. And as always, we really depend on your feedback to know where we have any gaps and to improve upon that. So once you start getting your hands dirty with this, feel free to provide us with any feedback that you may have. And that's it, and we'll be taking questions for the rest of the time.
Last thing is there is a hands-on lab this week for using Operations Manager with TFS, so you can actually go and try some of this yourself. And if you want to talk more, I'll actually be on the booth on Thursday, the Modern Data Center Application Monitoring booth from 12:30 to 3, and hopefully we can show you GSM and the whole process working. So that's it, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll take questions. We'll be here for a few more minutes, for like 20 more minutes if you want, and we can talk about any questions that you have. Thank you, guys.
Question, yeah. Yeah, so the question is, how is it going to change the configuration of Operations Manager? And the answer is that you download these MPs, and the only thing that really changes is you now have these new MPs installed, and it comes up as a node in the administration pane, but you don't have to mess with your management servers or anything like that. No. So you will need the one it's running on. You will need a connection to the internet to be able to talk to the GSM service. No. The only thing that gets pushed out to Microsoft is the visual. So in the case of the Visual Studio Web Test, that file, which is pretty much XML, gets pushed out to Microsoft, and we consume that service. And then we have these agents distributed globally, and then we use that to push information back into your own server. It's a push. So you can set the frequency, but pretty much every 5 minutes, or 10 or any longer that you choose, we run those tests, and then we push data back about the results to your management server. It released with SP1, but it'll work on 2000 and up. 2012 and up, sorry, not 2000. Yeah, it's a lot of back fat. Yeah. So the question for everyone else is .NET the only thing we plan to monitor? We talked about it yesterday in a different session, but we're going to roll out monitoring for Java as well. Yeah. So in the next release, we're going to have the same kind of application performance monitoring that you see for .NET for Java as well. Yeah, exactly. So the question is, if you just want website monitoring, you could set that up for a Java application. And right now, we only showed off the Visual Studio stuff, but if you want, you can go and set this up just to kind of like ping a single URL with some configuration rules, and you don't have to use you can use it without the Visual Studio integration, but I mean it's kind of like a better together scenario, right? So if you want to bridge like with your dev team, it's easier to do that with the Visual Studio integration. But you can go and run this all only through OM without any web tests. You select a web service or a URL, and you can target that as well. And another thing to stress is that we provide, we support authentication, right? So as you saw, you need a password, username and password to log in with some of those tests. And that is something that we provide. So if you need authentication to really have a useful test, that's something that we have covered as well. So the question is, does it handle multi-stage authentication? I'm not sure about what that answer is, but I can get back to you on that. So as long as it has outbound connection privileges, you're fine. I don't think any, like, no. As long as, like, Yeah, so for the web test, so as long as, like, you can hit that from a browser, that recording will all work. So pretty much if Internet Explorer can interface with it, you're fine. Right now, I think the .webtest result file, we only can pull that from Visual Studio and then push it back into Visual Studio. But you can also see the webtest result file, as I showed at the end, in the OM console. So it's not part of Ops Manager. All you have to do, it's pretty simple to install the MPs, and all the dependent MPs are in there already. And so all you have to do is install and import those MPs, and then you're up and running. But it doesn't launch in the box with Operations Manager. No. So as long as you have software assurance, it doesn't cost you anything extra. Yeah, that would work as well. And it'll grab those parameters for you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. No, so, I mean, this released with SP1, actually. And as long as there's another management pack, I think it's called the TFS Synchronization MP, and that's one of the dependencies we have here. But once you install that, it's not even just with the alert attachment MP. It's not even just these Visual Studio web tests that you can push over to TFS. You can push like the IntelliTrace. You can attach that and push that over to TFS. So you can, yeah. So yeah, this is all stuff you can try out today for free. Yeah, so the alerts that we showed off, so you can decide. Let me go back here. So all of these alerts were because, you know, we ran a test against all of that configuration exists in the .web test already. And so during your recording, as Laura showed, you can set like all these validation rules, like does the text contain the word error, does it? Okay. Well, so what you can do is like configure in the web test before you upload it to GSM all these configuration rules, like what do my redirects look like? I want to make sure it redirects here, and then here. How long does it take to load? It has to load faster than 30 milliseconds. All these configuration exists in that web test, and then if it fails against any of that, you can opt to get an alert. And so if I go back down to the authoring pane, I go to Contoso, viewing configure tests. You can change configuration here, but most of it already exists in the web test itself. And so once you fail against that, if you want to, you know, make sure you need two consecutive failures or three, then you'll get an alert. And once you have that alert, you can push that over into TFS as a work item. Yeah, next question. So can you repeat that?
On SQL, it
And so, like, and there was another demo we had yesterday. Like, you can, with the APM, you can go and see, you know, he's actually worked on it a lot. You can go and see, like, how long this query takes. And so it's really good for pinpointing, hey, this is the slowest query, and it's, like, the whole, like, this whole waiting is one query that's done poorly. You fix that, and then your website's loading 10 times faster, you know? And so that's kind of stuff that we have with .NET APM and now with Java APM as well. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Any other questions? So, if this is up to date, it's this Thursday.
No, that's me on the booth.
Oh, there's a lab.
It's the MDC. Yeah, it's MDC H.
Oh yeah, this one. Yeah. Thank you guys. So for the Visual Studio one, especially, so in the URL one, we collect like response time, and like we break it down for like how long were you in DNS, how long were you in like actually getting content. In this one, most of the information you're going to get is in that Visual Studio web test result file, which you can manually download or get automatically downloaded if it causes an alert. And there you can see, for example, let's go back into this. Like, so for this, even for the steps that succeed, the total time, the time for that particular request, you can also like expand this and see all the. It's freezing on me, good old OM. So you can see all the kind of dependent requests as well, and so you see the total time, but then you can see it broken down for each redirect. Like it takes this long to load up the JavaScript or whatever, and so that's broken down and becomes the summation of that total time. The APM? Oh, GSM. So right now we. Yeah, actually, I think that's it's possible. Let me go in and show you. Yeah, so if you go in, if you go to where to monitor from and you go to add, you can sort from external. Actually, no, for GSM you can only do external locations. So it's going to be us pinging you from our web servers. Yeah, but if you just want to like target a URL and get that kind of base monitoring, you can do that externally. I closed it. You can do that from GSM, the external locations, or from your own internal servers. Yep. Yeah, you can do that too. And there are also PowerShell scripts. If you like that map dashboard, they're PowerShell scripts. So you can say the location here is in, you know, South America, and you can see that on a map too. Just give it the latitude and longitude, and then boom, it's on that map as well, even from your internal locations. So what? So that's an interesting scenario. It's definitely one that we've looked at. So right now, the workaround is so you can add as many of these templates as you want. So if you want to have like your Europe one, you can load the same test as part of different templates. So like I can go and, you know, go add, I can go and say, you know, new monitoring for Visual Studio web test, and I could add the same test from a different location, and then within that web test, you can set, you know, before you upload the web test, you can change what the tolerance is for like load times, exactly, and so that's a way for you to configure You know, I know it's going to take really long coming from Australia. I know it should take, you know, half as long coming from New York.